Oh, we're back to that different land. How fun. Last week in Cambridge, there was this tour of the Battenkill bike event, and it's a big deal in our town. And it has bicycles taking over rural roads, and the finish line was just inches away from the Battenkill bookstore.
Literally, yes.
Yeah, just inches away.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking of as I was driving down, because I came home, I was away for the week, last week on vacation, and I came home very early Sunday morning, mm-hmm. like 4 o'clock Sunday morning. And I pulled in, and I was driving down Main Street, and there's just all of these big barriers and crowd fencing.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how are people going to get to your bookstore?
Well, let me tell you, we did not have to worry about that. We had one of the biggest weekends ever. Because we're so close to the finish line, we're literally about 50 yards from the finish,
which right
in front of the Cambridge Hotel. So it is the spot where everybody wants to be. So we had a very, very busy weekend. Kind of a funny story. On Saturday morning, we had Greg LeMond,
yep.
three-time Tour de France champion, in the store. He was signing a book that was written by a guy named Bill Humphreys. So this guy, Bill Humphreys, who's from Connecticut, and, you know, so he'd driven up, and then here's Greg LeMond, and I'm chatting to them. And then we also had this guy there, really, really nice guy, retired cyclist. His name's Doug Dale, and he was the artist of this year's Tour of the Battenkill commemorative poster. So I'm talking, I'm kind of chatting with all of them, and I introduce myself. And, you know, here's Greg LeMond. He's the famous guy. You know, he's in my bookstore, and I'm all excited. I'm going to get his signature. And Doug Dale turns to me, and he goes, he has this look in his eye, and he's like, wait a minute, I know your name. Oh my God, you're on WAMC. You do book picks. I want to get your signature. And I'm like, so I have a slight, very small modicum of fame. And I was just, I mean, blushing, you know, like, no, we're not here about me. So it was very, very funny.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. So we had a great weekend.
I was sorry I missed it. I would have loved to have been there. It was the first one I've missed in a long time. But while I was away,
yes.
I was reading one of the books on your list and enjoyed it immensely. But where would you like to begin?
Well, the first one that I wanted to start with, it's a memoir. I don't regularly read memoir. You know, everybody has their favorite thing to read. Memoir happens not to be my favorite. I'm much more of a fiction reader. But something about this book, which is Wild, From Lost to Found on the Pacific Crest Trail by Cheryl Strayed, had just really captured my interest. I had a galley copy a couple months back. And at the outset of the story, the author, Cheryl Strayed, she's reeling from grief. She's lost her mother a few months back. Her marriage is also crumbling. She's not only having extramarital affairs, she's also experimenting with drugs, including heroin. So her life is just really a mess. Therefore, she seems a very unlikely candidate for a grueling 1,100-mile solo hike through the remote terrain that is known as the Pacific Crest Trail, which is a trail that runs from California's border with Mexico all the way to Canada. And despite everything going on in her life, or perhaps because of it, the trail, for some reason, beckons to her as a possible way to change the course of her life. She is woefully unprepared for the rigors of the trail. She's never so much as hoisted her full pack. And that results in a hilarious scene towards the beginning of the book where she's in the motel room near where she's going to join the trail. And she literally cannot get the pack onto her back and then get herself into an upright position, which is very, very funny.
Yep.
So you can see she's really not prepared. She hasn't trained, nothing. So, of course, she has many adventures and misadventures along the way. She meets a whole host of characters, as I understand you do if you do one of these long range hikes. And of course, she starts to gain strength, both physically but also emotionally, which is what she was hoping for. But whether or not she ultimately finds the solace that she seeks, I'll let you read it and find out.
Excellent. It's Wild, From Lost to Found to the Pacific Crest Trail by Cheryl Strayed.
The next book I picked up is a delightful book. It has It's a tiny little trim size. It's got those wonderful rough cut pages.
Yep.
And it's a book called London Under by Peter Ackroyd. And it's a book really, I think, written for someone like me, by which I mean that all you have to do is mention a secret tunnel, an abandoned passageway, a boarded up mental institution, or some other intriguing off-limits space, and I'm enthralled. Now, personally, I'm too timid to ever explore these places myself, but you can be damn sure that I'll read about someone else exploring them. So in London Under, Aykroyd takes us underneath London and reveals fascinating stories from the murky depths. He regales us with tales of Anglo-Saxon graves discovered underneath St. Paul's Cathedral, an infant skeleton dating to Roman times buried 40 feet underground near the Thames, and sewer tunnels that no human being has set foot in for more than 15 years. His book is by no means a conventional history of London, and it isn't meant to be, but it is a fascinating collection of historical tidbits that reveal how old and how complex a city London is. Entire rivers have been covered over and submerged below the city streets. People over the centuries have lost their lives in the quest to construct tunnels and build sewers. Street names in their course can often hint at what lies beneath the surface. And I would suggest it to anyone who just wants to take an armchair tour of dark, dank London. And when you finish reading it, as I did, go outside and take a big breath of fresh air.
It's London Under by Peter Aykroyd.
The next one, I think, is the one that you read, which is the new Ann Tyler, The Beginner's Goodbye. Now, I think, who can resist a new book by Ann Tyler? We get so excited when a new one comes out.
I'm head over heels in love with Ann Tyler.
Yes.
I will say this publicly. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Ann Tyler, please, please, please let me interview you.
Ah, yes.
I want her on the book show.
Yes.
I want her so bad to be on the book show. She has shunned publicity, and then for this new book, she did a whole series of interviews.
Right.
And her publicist, Paul Bogarts with Knopf, said no. but I plead.
Yes,
I plead because I would love to talk to Ann Tyler, because I've read every book she's written 20 times, and I'm just such a huge fan. But this is just great.
Yeah, this one, I go back to her books too. I'll have times in my life where I just read them over and over again. This new one is the story of a middle-aged man. He's been ripped apart by the death of his wife, but he's gradually restored, albeit because of her frequent ghostly appearances around their home and neighborhood. Crippled in his right arm and leg, Aaron has spent his childhood fending off a sister who wanted to manage him. So when he meets Dorothy, a plain, outspoken, independent young woman, she's like a breath of fresh air. He marries her. They have a relatively happy, unremarkable marriage. But when Dorothy is killed unexpectedly, Aaron is unmoored. Only when her unexpected appearances from the dead, those help him to live in the moment and to find some peace. Typical Ann Tyler style, you know, wise, softly humorous, touching. She's just fabulous.
The death scene, in the way in which she dies, I just thought, because I was like, oh, you know, is it illness? Is it something?
No.
You know? No,
no,
it was very unusual and yet incredibly plausible and just fantastic.
Let's say one of those deaths that you read about in the papers and you think this couldn't possibly happen to someone. It does. That's all we're...
It reminded me a little bit of like 6 Feet Under, the beginning of 6 Feet Under, where how someone oddly would pass. But it was just so perfect for
for
the book.
Absolutely.
I just loved it. It's The Beginner's Goodbye by Ann Tyler.
Next, I brought in a book that we recently read in for our book club in the store. It's an older book. It's in paperback. It's called Molokai by Alan Brenner. And the whole club, we all agree that this is a book, the type of book you do not want it to end. It's become such a part of your life that you want it to keep going. You know it has to end, but you don't want it to. The story is that of Rachel. She is a 7-year-old Hawaiian girl who develops leprosy, and she's separated from her family and sent to the lepers' colony on the island of Molokai in the late 19th century. And terrible, terrible things happen to Rachel in the course of her life. Somehow, though, the book reaches a satisfying conclusion, because a lot of people have asked me, well, I don't want to read it if it's just sad. And it's not. It's sad things happen. But she departs for Molokai, and it's where her life is supposed to end. This was supposed to be a fate worse than death, to be sent to the island of Molokai. But of course, it's only the beginning of her story. And Molokai may be a community of outcasts, but it's a community nonetheless. And we just found it to be an absolutely gorgeous, haunting book. And I can't recommend it highly enough. And if you're looking for a book for your book club, would be a really great choice.
Malachi by Alan Brennert.
I'm switching gears to some books for younger readers. And the first is Robin Lefevre's new young adult novel, Grave Mercy, which is an action-adventure story set in a fictional medieval world and would be a great recommendation for someone in your life who loved The Hunger Games. Mm. It's got a lot of readers of The Hunger Games out there, and a lot of those young adults and parents asking, well, what's next? I want to keep them reading. The story of Grave Mercy is that 17-year-old Ismay escapes from the brutality of an arranged marriage into the sanctuary of the convent of Saint Mortain. But here she learns that the sisters serve not God, but death. If she chooses to stay at the convent, she will be trained as an assassin and serve as a handmaiden to death. To claim her new life, she must destroy the lives of others. Ismay's most important assignment takes her straight into the High Court of Brittany, where she finds herself woefully underprepared, not only for the deadly games of intrigue and treason, but for the impossible choices she must make, including romantic ones. So you can see kind of the allusions to the Hunger Games there.
Yeah, dead kids.
So it is certainly, it's not without its violence, but obviously the kids like that. So
right. I know.
Yeah. Keep them reading. But the second book that for kids that I brought in, specifically because not everyone is looking for another book like The Hunger Games.
Right.
Some readers and certainly some parents will come into the bookstore and say, okay, my child's not old enough for that, or no more of this dystopian. We've had enough of that. They like mysteries. You know, what do you have? Which is one reason why I was so excited that this book came along, which is Ruby Redfort, Look Into My Eyes by Lauren Child. Perfect for a 9 to 12-year-old, Ruby Redfort is a great choice for a kid who loves solving mysteries, loves solving puzzles, loves breaking codes. Ruby was a fictional heroine in Child's popular Clarice Bean books, and a lot of kids know those, and they would write her and say, please write Ruby Redfort's story. So eventually she did. Now in her own starring role, the genius codebreaker and daring detective, along with her sidekick butler Hitch, and everyone needs a sidekick butler. That's very important in life. They work for a secret crime-busting organization called Spectrum. Ruby gets into lots of scrapes with evil villains, but she's always ice cool in a crisis. There are puzzles and codes throughout the book, which give your own young reader plenty of chances to exercise their own problem-solving abilities.
Lauren Child.
And then finally, a picture book for baseball season. Randy Riley's Really Big Hit by Chris Van Dusen is about a kid who loves baseball but isn't very good at it. What he is good at are things like making mathematical calculations and building robots. He rides his bike home one day after a game, and when he is gazing up at the sky through his telescope, he discovers that a blazing fireball is heading directly toward Earth and will arrive in a matter of days. In fact, the fireball is aimed right at his town. Randy sets to work, and the result is that he builds a gigantic robot much better at swinging a bat than he is. On the fateful day, Randy guides his robot into town. The robot takes a stance and slams the fireball back into space, saving the day. The text is filled with rhymes. Not a word feels out of place. And, of course, Chris Van Dusen's illustrations are very fun to behold. It's my favorite picture book of the season.
That sounds great. Randy Riley's Really Big Hit. We have exactly 12 seconds, and I just want to ask you real quick about the World Book Night.
World Book Night. We are very pleased to be one of the bookstores involved next week. We're giving away boxes of books to book givers this week, and they'll be going out into the community next week, delivering them to places as varied as prisons to doctor's office waiting rooms to the jury pool.
Awesome.
Yes.
A great idea. For more information on Bat and Kill Books, you can go to their website, batandkillbooks.com. Better yet, go to 15 East Main Street in Cambridge, and there you can acquire a Connie Brooks autograph. It's always fun. Go to Bat and Kill Books, batandkillbooks.com. Connie, it's always a delight to have you here. Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Joe.